This is Reverend Lorelei Kay, and we're doing the new installation for the series, How Then Shall We Live? It's a discussion, a dialogue with people of faith in our community who are acting out their faith by serving. And today, the person that I'm going to be fortunate enough to be interviewing is Alice Perez, who is the director of the food pantry, the community food pantry. And I've known Alice for a bit of time. In fact, we did a leadership training together through the Chamber of Commerce. And so we have a little bit of a background together, but one thing I haven't really had time to learn about, Alice, is about you and how you became the director of the food pantry and how that all came about. So if you would talk to us a little bit about that, it'd be great.
Well, Lorelei, first of all, thank you for having me on your show. It's a privilege and a pleasure to do this. I enjoy what I do. I have always been in a position where I can give back to my community. My grandmother taught me as a very young child that always give and then receive, because what you receive in return is in abundance.
Wow.
That way.
Wonderful.
So I've always done that. And when this position came available in 2015, I knew Jim Harlan as a personal friend.
So he was one of the founders
yes,
of the food pantry here.
That's correct. I knew what his purpose for this organization was. I knew what his goals were somewhat for this organization and how it would tie to the community. And by knowing that and loving Jim the way I did as a friend, I wanted to carry on his goals.
Nice.
I wanted to try and put my feet in his shoes and walk forward. I'll never be able to fit in his shoes. But
I never got to meet him, but I understand he was an amazing man.
He was, yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's why I applied for the position, because I knew that I could target what he wanted and enhance it maybe.
Yeah. So it's good to have that kind of a mission focus, and you know exactly where you're headed.
Mm-hmm.
And how? So you've been with the food pantry for a number of years, and I would like to kind of talk about a few things. And one of those is, in general, let's talk about hunger in our community. And then we'll talk about some of the programs and things that are offered through the food pantry. And then, of course, ways that the community can help and things that are going on with the food pantry that folks can get involved in.
Okay.
And then we'll talk at the end a little bit about faith and how that motivates you.
Okay. Sounds good.
One of the reasons that I contacted you and wanted to have this interview with you is that at our church for Lent, we've been studying a program called God's Abundant Table. And we've been researching some of the hunger issues in our community. The resource that one of the folks in the study found for information about hunger in New Mexico and in McKinley County particularly is from the website of a group called Bread for the World. Their mission statement is Have Faith and Hunger. And they talk about hunger in New Mexico, and some of the statistics that we learned in our study were pretty shocking.
Yes, and they're even more shocking when you narrow it down to McKinley County.
Right.
Because McKinley County is the second income-deprived county in the state of New Mexico.
Right. It's terrible. The issue of hunger here and poverty here is really incredibly shocking.
Mm-hmm.
The statistics that they have on the Bread for the World, just for New Mexico in general, is that 1 in 4 children and 1 in 5 women live in poverty in our state. We knew this, I think, already to some degree. But then when we turn the page and we look on the particular information for McKinley County, on Bread for the World, it actually shows us at 30% to 53%.
That's correct.
And that was really hard for us to get our heads around.
Well, hearing the numbers and actually seeing the vision of how it impacts our community are two different things.
Mm.
You know, I never realized until I actually started working this job the high impact that these numbers have on our community.
Yeah.
And it explains a lot of other situations that we have in our community.
Well, that's one of the things that we want to do is get out of our heads, which statistics are, it's good information, it's important to know, but we wanted to get out of our heads and into our hearts about this. And so we had some dialogues in our group, and one of the stories that just won't leave me is it came from some of our teachers. And we have folks in our church community who serve in the BIE. And there are children who in that part of the education system who have the food they need when they're at school, but they don't have it when they go home. And for a child during the year, over the weekend, they may experience significant hunger.
Yes.
But over the summer, it's catastrophic.
Correct.
And what the teachers told me was that there are children who are, at the end of the year, already cutting back on the food they have available while they're at school because they feel like they can shrink their stomachs so they won't be so hungry over the summer.
Yes. And it's human nature for us to acclimate ourselves to the environment that we're in. But that doesn't mean that we have to accept it.
Thank you. Yeah. So that kind of brings me around to asking the question, how does the food pantry interact with hunger in our community and what's possible?
Well, we have our Food for Kids program, which is also known as the Backpack Program. Right now in McKinley County, we service over 750 children every single weekend.
Wow.
And what we do is we send home food with these children. We try and put enough in the bags where they can share with siblings if they have them, but that's not always possible.
Okay. And how do kids get into that program? And what is the criteria, or how do you figure out who needs the help?
We do not choose the children,
okay?
Because of confidentiality laws and
right.
stuff like that. We can service 30 to 35 children per school. And then what we do is we have the school counselors and the administration and the teachers choose the children that need those programs, because who knows the children better than they do?
You know, they see the kids every day.
Exactly. Okay. And so we leave it up to them to choose the children who need it the most. And we could service over 3,000 children a month.
Wow.
I mean, a week in this area and still not target all the kids who need the program.
That was one of the questions that folks have been asking me. How big is the program? You said 750 kids?
Right.
And how big could it be to be more effective?
If funding was available, oh gosh. Well, you figure we have 100% of our children who are in schools. 100% of our district is on the free and reduced lunch program.
Mm-hmm.
That right there tells you every single child could benefit from this program.
Wow. That's astounding. A little overwhelming, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So I guess the next question would be, how much does it kind of cost per child per child, per year? Per year.
Okay. It costs $207.
Wow, that's not
It's
that
not
much.
A lot at all. It's really, really not. But that's not a program that carries them through the summer.
Right.
They have the lunch programs and the breakfast programs that take place from the schools at the local parks and stuff like that, where they feed the children in the summer times. But I don't know how far spread that is throughout the district
and
outside
that's not of a food pantry program. That's
right.
The school district program.
Mm-hmm.
Or,
Well, no, I think it's more of a CYFD program,
but
it's catered through the school system because they have the means to do it.
Okay, great. But obviously lots of room for expansion for the backpacks
Definitely.
Program or the kids Meals for Kids program.
Definitely.
Yeah, great. Can you just kind of give me some information then about in general about how the food pantry functions? And
well, we only have one program that is actually income guidelined, and that's the commodity program.
Okay.
And people have to have proof of their income, proof of residency, because they have to live within McKinley County, unless they live in Cibola County, because we also have our grants community pantry over there as well. So, but each county services their own, okay? And so they come in and they sign up for the program, and we give them the commodity programs that the state of New Mexico allows us to give. But through our services and through our fundraising efforts and through our grant writing and the donation program, we are able to take a box of commodities that would weigh anywhere from 10 to 12 pounds and turn it into 75 to 100 pounds worth of food. And we send that home with a family. And now this is just a supplemental program. It is not to take care of a family permanently, okay? Mind you, we have some families who have been on it for years, which is okay because their situation hasn't changed or improved,
okay?
Okay. And then we have some people who are on it for 3 months and things pick up and then we don't see them again, mm-hmm. you know, which is always the goal.
Yeah.
But not necessarily the reality.
Right. And the task of getting them into a position where they can feed themselves is not part of your work. Your work is to fill the gap between.
Exactly. Because a family of five who's receiving EBT assistance, the funds that they receive through that program may not necessarily carry them all the way through the month.
Right.
So we encourage them to come to us, get the food that we have, and then go do their grocery shopping because mm-hmm. we want them to not have to double purchase,
right.
I guess you'd say.
Yeah, and waste food.
Exactly.
And waste their money.
Right.
Yeah.
We want their money to stretch further.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, we also have our dollar stretchers. And it's where you can come in and purchase a box full of food, dry goods, mm-hmm. for $15. That is shelf-staple foods.
Okay.
And it would normally cost you anywhere from $25 to $30 at the grocery store.
Great.
You
okay.
can pay for it with cash. You can pay for it with your debit card or credit card. Mm-hmm. You can also use your EBT card on it.
Great.
So, again, we're trying to help people's funding stretch further.
Right.
And we also do that with our meat boxes. We have 2-3 different sizes of meat boxes.
Mm-hmm. So people can get meats and get them into their diet,
yes,
as well.
Yes, because they need that protein. They need that.
Yeah. I remember from a couple of years ago when we did one of our little Sunday fundraisers,
mm-hmm.
You telling us that you really can take a dollar and stretch it for purchasing power too. So that's
correct.
It's really better almost for the food pantry if you give money instead of canned goods.
Well, when you are going to donate food to us, if you go to Walmart and buy 5 cans of green beans and bring those 5 cans of green beans to us, we can give out 5 cans of green beans.
Right.
But if you bring us $10, which you would have spent
right.
to buy those 5 cans of green beans.
Right, at Walmart. Yeah.
You know, that gives us $70 worth of groceries.
That's quite a bit more.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because okay. we are affiliated with Feeding America, which allows us the purchasing power.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. And what other ways are you supported by connections in the community to receive foods that you can distribute?
We work with our local grocery stores. And they give us donations daily. Foods that are no longer available to sell, but yet they haven't expired.
Okay.
They're just not available to sell. You know, sometimes it's, oh, we're not going to carry this product anymore,
mm-hmm.
but we can't throw it away, so let's give it to the pantry so they can give it out.
Excellent.
Okay, and we also affiliate ourselves with Creamland Dairy, the Dean Foods
Excellent.
Program. When they pull their stuff off the shelf, it says sell by,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't mean use by. It still has about two more weeks worth of lifespan.
Great.
So what they do is they give us their dairy products that they're pulling off the shelf, which is a great contributor to the community.
Yeah.
And we take it and put it right back out to the people who need it.
Right. That's fantastic.
Yes.
That's really helpful. The food pantry has been in the Gallup community for how long?
Since 1999. That's when Jim Harlan and his associates decided to make a go at it, and it started off in a little garage, and they quickly outgrew it, and through the success of Carol Bowman Musket and many others over at McKinley County, they wrote a grant to build the community pantry, mm-hmm. as people see it today.
The site that it's on now.
Exactly.
And it's amazing.
It is. I don't even know the square footage of it, but it's just really big.
Yeah. No. I mean, you have, besides the storehouse, though, you have other parts of the facility as well.
That's right. We have the refrigeration system. We have the freezer system, which we also work with other community members to house some of the foods and stuff that they need. We work with Rehoboth McKinley Christian School, and
nice.
We work with, you know, we
yeah.
just work with anybody that wants to work with us, we will work with them,
right.
okay? And through the years, we've developed it, and currently, we are servicing over 3,500 families right here in McKinley County alone.
In a month?
In 1 month.
Wow, 3,500 families.
Yes. And that's through the various programs, the commodity program, the free produce program, which I encourage everybody to come and sign up.
Okay.
Because we're not just about giving food out. We're about building our community as a healthy community.
Right.
We want people to eat healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And with the diabetic epidemic that is going around in this community the way it is, the way to combat that is through produce and fresh fruit and fresh vegetables. So we not only give it out every week for free to everybody and anybody that lives in McKinley County, we also have our community garden. We highly encourage people to come join us and participate with us in that program. It is such a wonderful program.
Yeah.
Because not only do you reap the benefits of growing your fruit and your vegetables and everything else that you want, you get the sense of a community participation. You get to congregate with people and compare notes and grow with each other.
And learn more about gardening.
Exactly,
right?
Because we help provide the education for it. We provide tools for it. We provide all of your water for it for a small price of $75 for a growing season, which is May through October.
Yeah. Oh, that's
exactly.
Really affordable. Yeah.
And if at any time, you know, some people say, oh, I can't get a box. I'm going to be gone 3 weeks out of the whole summer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want it to die. We don't want it to die either.
No.
So we, you know, we just tell them, let us know when you're going to leave.
Ah,
you know,
okay.
We will take care of your box for you while you're gone.
That's wonderful.
The only thing that we ask is anything that we harvest out of that box during the period that you're gone, we turn around and put it right back out into the community.
Yeah. And let other people have that.
Yes.
So it doesn't go to waste.
And we are also a farmer's market destination.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. We signed up to be a farmer's market destination because right now during the summer months, the farmer's market is only available to people on Saturdays.
Yeah.
Not everybody can do everything on Saturdays.
some folks work on Saturdays.
That's right. So what we do is we have our farmer's market doors open to people Monday through Friday.
Excellent.
Yes, and they can come down and they can purchase organically grown fruits and vegetables. And we keep our prices very, very comparable to local.
Well, that's great.
Yes.
That is really helpful.
And we are also part of the Double Bucks program through the farmers market. The Double Bucks program is the program that's a state-funded program that allows us to sell our product to people of lower income who have EBT cards.
Okay.
They can purchase it with their EBT cards.
Great.
But if they're purchasing $10 worth of produce, they actually get $20 worth of produce.
Oh, that's great.
So it's double bucks.
That is really
helpful. Okay, so our goal is to bring everybody to a healthy center so that their children can flourish.
Right, and thrive with a good diet and healthy food.
Because poverty leads to hunger.
Mm-hmm.
Hunger leads to obesity. Mm-hmm. Obesity leads to diabetes and other health issues.
Because folks who are on a limited income, they buy things that will last and they don't have to use refrigeration. Well, this has been part of our conversation. When folks live in a home that doesn't have electricity, they don't have refrigeration, they don't have access to buy foods on a regular basis or often enough to store vegetables and fruits and things like that that are really healthy and good for them. That's really hard on their diet and on their health.
And, you know, and it's sad that we live in a society in an era where it's cheaper to feed a family of four people hamburgers from a fast food restaurant than it is to feed them a salad.
Right.
You know?
Ironic, isn't it? Yeah, that's not good, though. I mean, that's what we've got to think about is how we're treating the folks who may need a little bit of help with their foods, and we don't want to promote bad health issues because of the way that we're feeding them.
Right. And one thing that I also want to address with the community is I get a lot of people who tell me, oh, I see people with really nice cars over there. You know, and I, you know, they drive a nicer car than I do, and they're over there at the community pantry and everything else. I don't think it's a fair system. But what they're not taking into consideration is we are a staff of 8 people, and three of those people are part-time, servicing over 3,500 families per month, okay?
Yeah.
So we rely heavily upon our volunteers.
Yeah.
our volunteers, a lot of them are driving those nice cars.
Right.
Our contributors and our donors are driving nice cars,
right.
You know. And so they can't judge the book by its cover.
Right.
That's why I highly encourage people to come in, work with us, volunteer with us, mm-hmm. get to know our
right.
programs, get to know who we are as an organization and how we affect the community in a positive manner.
Yeah. And I know that you work really hard to make that accessible to folks. So if you just have an hour once a week or
exactly.
every other week, you can come and you can do something constructive
exactly.
and help.
Mm-hmm.
And support that system.
That's right.
Yeah, that's really important stuff, too. We really have to remember that the food pantry is a program that is to give back to the community.
That's right. And we work with everybody. We work with our physically challenged people.
Mm-hmm.
We work with the school systems. We work with the university here in Gallup. Mm-hmm. We work with Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts. We even work with our elementary students who want to come in and learn how to do things.
That's great.
Because if we don't teach them as small children, it's hard for them to grow up into the adults that we want them to be.
Right. Yeah. I think kids really enjoy helping to give back as well. It doesn't you don't have to be an adult to understand that something that you can do can help somebody else.
That's right.
That's really great. So I wanted to ask the question, too, about folks who can't access the food pantry themselves.
Well, we have a various amount of things that we do.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, they can use the local public transit system, Gallup Express.
Okay. Is that the blue buses?
Those are the blue buses.
Great. No. Great.
Okay. And the way that works is if they're out on the reservation and everything, that's fine. Catch the Navajo transit system. Come
okay.
into town, catch the Gallup Express transit system. They'll bring you to us. They'll take you back to your bus to get back
okay,
to home.
Okay, that's very helpful.
Yeah, that's one of the ways that they can do it. Plus, we have mobile food pantries.
Okay.
Over this past year, we purchased two new trucks. And we were able to start mobile food banking out in Navajo, Fence Lake, Rama, and Zuni.
Oh, that's great.
Okay.
Alice, that's great.
So now we take the pantry to the people.
Very
and
good.
We help them that way.
Yeah.
When we took our truck out to Zuni, we gathered up over 200 families who had not been able to utilize this before.
Yeah.
Our next goal is to hit Crown Point.
Great.
We're in the process of seeking the funding to go out to Crown Point because I have a feeling we're going to be able to get a lot more people there too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Every community you touch, I'm sure,
mm-hmm.
you have a good effect on.
That's right.
So I think that's really encouraging because that had been a concern that I have heard raised and no answer to was what happens to people who are out beyond the limits of transportation.
And, you know, and we tell them, like every other program in this world, buddy up.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah.
If someone's coming to town, catch a ride with them. You know, it might be a little bit of an inconvenience that you have to follow their schedule, but hey, you know.
It's worth it.
It
to
is.
To get good
mm-hmm.
healthy food, and yeah, that's wonderful. So I think for the last little bit here, what I'd like to talk to you a little bit about is your own personal faith. And you've talked to me personally about that before, but I was wondering if you would share with the folks who are listening a little bit about your faith background. And you already mentioned that your grandma was one who was talking about giving and then receiving.
Mm-hmm.
But what really drives you to be in a job, in a capacity where you're doing this kind of work?
Well, I was born and raised Southern Baptist in Casa Grande, Arizona. My grandmother would pick me up every single Sunday and take me to church. Thank you, Grandma.
Yeah.
And as an adult, I've explored other faiths, you know, and explored other churches. Mm-hmm. And God just speaks to me in his own way, okay?
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what church I'm in at the moment. And because I visit different churches all the time.
Yeah.
Okay. I am part of the Catholic community here in Gallup, New
mm-hmm.
Mexico. And that's where my husband and I have chosen to have our home
that's
church.
Great.
But as far as my faith goes, one message that God has always given me is, I have never left you. Mm-hmm. I have never left your side. And
yeah.
as long as you are giving and doing my work, I'm going to be there doing my work for you.
Yeah.
And so by taking care of others and helping them with their growth, their spiritual growth and everything, it helps me grow.
Right.
I grow through other people.
Yeah, that seems, sometimes that seems odd when you think about it. That,
but it's a fact.
It is a fact, isn't it? Yeah. And what a wonderful assurance to know that God has never left you.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore you can be a part of God's presence for other people.
That's right.
And by serving in this way.
That's right.
So I want to just thank you for the work you do. And I enjoy, you know, talking with you always. But for today, I really want to thank you for being here with us and talking with us and giving us some more insights. I understand there's some activities going on this weekend. Do you want to tell
us
a little bit about that?
This weekend is Earth Day weekend, okay? And there's different organizations that are going to be participating in Earth Day. They're going to start off at the field, We the People Park, which is across the street from the community pantry, where they have that metal wall of people. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, that right there is where it's going to start. That's going to be at 11 o'clock. It's going to be a memorial tree dedication for Octavia Fallin, who is the previous librarian, and Mr. Paul Graves, a wonderful man.
Okay.
And then there's going to be the different activities over at the community pantry. And one thing that we're going to be doing is we're going to be giving tours of our garden.
Great.
One will be at 1:30 and the other one will be at 3 o'clock.
On Saturday.
Yes. Uh-huh. And they're going to have the Children's Center activities. They're going to have monarch butterfly puppets and egg carton seed planters. So they're going to learn how to grow their own little garden inside their egg planters, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Okay, and then there's going to be different booths. So they're going to have the City Environmental Conservation Programs. They're going to have the Gallup Farmers Market there, Gallup Solar and Work and Beauty, La Mananita Co-op Food Market's going to be there.
Yeah.
McKinley Citizens Recycling Council, along with New Mexico Earth Savers Club, which is at the Mayamera High School.
Okay.
The Octavia Fallin Library is going to be participating. Plateau Sciences Society, RMCH Healing Hands.
Great.
Science Class Biogas Display, Mayamera High School once again, which I'm really excited about. I'll tell you about that in a minute. Along with us at the Community Pantry, we're going to have food, snacks, and that right there is going to be a fundraiser for the community pantry.
Yeah,
having a
great, okay,
having a little food.
So bring
there.
Your kids, obviously.
Yeah, well, yeah, definitely, because this is going to be a great way for them to participate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And one thing that we're working with at the community pantry is the Mayamera High School students who are doing the biogas display.
What's that about?
It is biogas that is produced through compost.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And what we are trying to do is find a way to turn that biogas into a way that we can put it into a combustible tank. I think that's what they called it.
Okay.
Kind of like a propane tank.
So use it for energy.
Yes, and not just for cooking, because that's what they're using it for.
Okay.
But what we want to do is we want to turn that into a heating system for our hoop houses.
Which will allow us,
because that'll allow us literally to grow when the season is, you know, the temperatures are below zero or close to it.
No. Like they are today.
Yeah.
I'm teasing because it snowed today. I didn't expect it. But,
it's a wonderful, I mean, the brilliance of teenagers nowadays is just overwhelming.
Yeah,
I'm glad mine aren't teenagers anymore, but at the same time, I love the way they're innovative and creative in ways.
In ways that are going to benefit our ecology and our people.
That's right, because at the community pantry, we don't believe in waste.
Yeah.
Okay. We have less than 8% waste at the community pantry.
That's great.
We don't throw hardly anything away. And we even work with our local farmers, our pig farmers and chicken farmers and whoever else raises things.
Right.
You know, if it has to be thrown away and it can't be consumed by humans.
Right.
We give it to those who can use it.
Oh, that's
we
great.
Work with the Candy Kitchen Wolf Rescue Ranch and everything.
Excellent. Anything else that we need to know about the food pantry that would be helpful?
Come visit us, please. We would love to give you a tour of what we have going. We would love to introduce you to our different programs. We have 8 different programs to get involved in.
Great.
Whether you're a participator in them or whether you're a contributor to them. Mm-hmm. Donations.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Every bit helps. Yeah.
Yes. 90% of our funding comes from grant writing, donations, and fundraisers.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it all helps our community and the people around us.
That's
that
right.
We care
it
about.
Stays right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I highly encourage people to get involved with what we do, how we operate. Be one of those organizations that builds the community pantry up to the point where we can be successful for our community.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you today for being here with me and talking to me, but also for the work that you do, Alice.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you all for listening.